Welcome to Monkey Pigeons, episode 6. Mr. Smith, welcome.
How are you doing? Good to be good. Here, Steve, as always. Episode 6. Feels great.
Is that your favourite number? Number 6? What's your favourite number?
It's cliche, but 7. Without even thinking about it.
There you go, fans. Seven. What did we listen to this week? I listened to Jamie T, Panic Prevention. What about you?
Did you make it to the end of that album?
I did. 1 hour, 1 minute album. It was a long one. I don't think I've ever listened to the last 2 tracks, and today I did. So it was a good achievement. I enjoyed it.
Very good going. I mean, I listened to The Cribs, The New Fellas, and that's a good 35 minutes, which is great. Yeah, I flew through that album, and wow, yeah, I loved it, must admit.
You sent me a message and said, I've listened to it about 10 times or something this week, because you were very excited about it. You've been excited about this album for weeks, because it was on Tim Burgess's listening party, right? Tim's Twitter listening party that's happening on Twitter when they review albums, or everyone listens to an album together, and then the people who made the album are talking about it on Twitter. And you were, I think that was on last week, the Cribs New Fellas album, and you were messaging and you were quite excited about listening to it again.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it was, I think we recorded it, it was last Thursday, and it was on my, it kind of started midway through, and I was a bit gutted because I like really wanted, because it kind of coincided with choosing the new album, and then I was kind of out of sync. But the great thing is, and all those Tim's listening parties that you do on Twitter, there's a big, massive catalogue of albums to kind of listen back to. And there's like, you can kind of sync starting your album with pressing play on the playback on Twitter. And it kind of brings you the feed of all the chat from the band members of like the Cribs or whatever in sync with you playing the album. So as you're kind of going through each track, you're getting all the cool insight of what the band at the time, but also how the song was brought together and all these things. So I found it great. And then I was kind of like looking at what else had been happening, but also looking ahead for stuff that was coming up. So I was slightly gutted that, cause they were going to do a Maximo Park on Tuesday, but with the, you know, the blackout situation, all that kind of stuff on Twitter, it got pushed back. So bigger things are happening, but good thing is, it is still happening at the end of the month, so look out for that.
Very good. And that's a big shout out to Tim Burgess. So, Tim, I think you can retweet us, and we should maybe promote ourselves quickly. We are available on all major podcast platforms, so we would love a rating on Apple if you want to go on there. And also, if you give us a rating and you put one of the albums that you actually would like us to listen to, we will definitely do that if you give us a nice 5-star rating, because it helps other people to find us. Mr. Smith, should we jump straight into the album choices? So I believe that I am first.
I think so. Were you last week?
Yes.
All right. Then, yeah, you're first this week. I think that's how it works. So like with the Panic Prevention then, I mean, I've not listened to this album for a long time. And you chose it. I mean, it was the first kind of choice going into this week. I mean, why Jamie T?
Jamie T was an interesting one, because I listened to this album a lot back in the day. So I think it was 2007, this album, if I'm rightly. So it was at the end of our timeline that we're looking at. And Jamie T was one that me and a good friend back in the day, we used to listen to it a lot. And it had that, you know, you put it on and he has this kind of very Cockney accent, you know, the when he's and he does a bit of rapping, he does a bit of singing. As far as I remember, he recorded this album on his own in his bedroom, and he was suffering from panic attacks, I believe, and this was his kind of outlet when he made it, probably why it's called Panic Prevention. Now, yeah. I think about it, connecting the dots, and it kind of came around, and I thought that it was just quite different at the time, but it was quite raw and all of the songs I found that I kind of listened to back then from him were really good. And I just like this kind of one man band thing. He did it all on his own, and I just thought like it was very different because I was listening to a lot of indie bands. So yeah, it stuck out to me at the time. And
it's nice. Go on, see. Sorry, I was kind of like to say it's like it's a nice crossover of like a one man indie band, but with a bit of hip hop thrown in, but his own style as well. It's like, you know, I suppose it's Arctic Monkeys esque, but sped up a bit.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good description, and it has to go. I give kudos to him for probably the best opening line and kind of guitar riff of an album since 2000, I'm gonna say. He goes, when the album starts, it's like a fucking croissant, and then he goes do 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 do, and it jumps into the first song, and it's really good. So check it out. I mean, just to hear that part, just put the album on the first song, and you hear this, and it puts a smile on your face.
Yeah, it's nice interludes between tracks, isn't there? You kind of like listen to key tracks as you're going through, and then. But you miss out as you like listen to the album through of all these kind of weird kind of bridges between tracks. Like before like Sheila kicks in, I think he's having a chat with, I don't know who it is. I just like to think of it as Sheila.
And he does little interludes. I don't know whether this is, you remember like it's like Eminem's album. I don't know whether he's kind of taken the mick out of Eminem's album, because when that came out, I think it was the Slim Shady LP. He had all these interlude tracks where he would like do these kind of, I don't know, him ordering at McDonald's and being stupid and stuff like this. And then Jamie T's one is a bit like that. He has these little interlude things, but in a very, very English way. So maybe it's a little play on that. But I can probably jump straight into the banger if you'd like me to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was going to ask that. So what is the banger?
So I don't know whether you would agree with me, but I don't know. There are a lot of fast songs and a lot of kind of, I do like most of the songs on the album. But for me, the banger, I'll give you a little throw out to the close call for me, which was Pacemaker.
Yeah.
But the banger is one of his more famous tracks, and it's If You Got the Money.
All right.
And this is... towards the end of the album, is track 11. It's a 4-minute one, so there's a lot of long tracks on this album. It's a 4-minute track, and if you give it a full listen, because the first 2 minutes it's not the fastest song, but the last 2 minutes it really picks up the pace, and it's the sort of song that would come on and you would like it in an indie disco. And then the last 2 minutes of the songs will kick in, and I think you would run to the dance floor and you would start enjoying it. So that's why I pick it as the banger.
Would Sheila be classed as a banger?
I think it's too slow to be a banger. It doesn't get the heart going. It doesn't get the blood pumping, and you want to jump around on an indie disco. I couldn't pick it for that reason. So here we go. Give it a listen. If You Got the Money, track 11, Jamie T, Panic Prevention. Here we go.
Yes, she wants money, 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 money. Well, she wants money, 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 money. Yes, she wants money, 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 money. Well, she wants money, 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 money. Money, 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 money. Well, she wants money, 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 money. Well, she wants money, money. Quit, you got the money. I think you would be funny. Uh-oh. Take your girlfriend to pay your cash for me. Then she might be happy.
There it was, Mr. Smith. If You Got the Money by Jamie T, Panic Prevention, 2007. What you got to say? Yay or nay?
Well, I think like when I was listening to it, I mean, it's weird because, you know, when you kind of put the pressure of it being a banger, you're expecting, you know, to be hit. But actually, it's kind of it's got a nice kind of slow build up to it. I think I was kind of, you know, we have a chat offline while the track's playing, and I thought it's more of an anthem, but that's not, you know, that's not a bad thing, really. Yeah.
I think you're right. And I think a lot of the songs are anthems on this album. I don't think there's a clear-cut banger. And I chose this one because, as I was saying to you during the song, like, you've got your little... The first couple of minutes are like, you've got your kind of red stripe in your hand at the indie disco. You're swaying a bit. If you got the money. Da, 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 da. And then the last 2 minutes pick up pace, pick up pace, pick up pace. And then there's some, like, down parts in there. And you can just imagine... like being at the indie disco and this is on and you're having a good time with your friends. So that's why in the end I plopped for this one. Yeah, that's the best I could do.
No, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure whether Sheila's a bigger banger. I like to listen to that a bit. But that, I mean, that's the biggest song in the album anyway. But along with If You've Got the Money, they're the, you know, the two known singles on it. But yeah, I mean, it's like you say, I mean, there's a lot of kind of tracks on there that kind of grab your attention. But yeah, it's a lot different to kind of what we played up to now, which is a good thing, really.
Oh, my gosh. You know what you said? I'm just reading his Wikipedia page. You said he's like a one man Arctic Monkey. That's his nickname. Or he's been nicked on Wikipedia. It says, he has been nicknamed One Man Arctic Monkey.
Oh, really?
This is a actual thing that's on Wikipedia, yeah.
Bloody hell.
So, you're spot on there. Well, yeah, well
Wikipedia
done.
Wikipedia agrees. There we go.
There you go. Someone has taken the time to write that. So, it's probably you. You probably submitted it.
Either I read it before or I wrote it. You take a guess.
I'm trying to see where it got to in the charts, but I can't actually see that on Wikipedia. So I can just see that it got a Metacritic rating of 71 out of 100, this album. Yeah, but I can move on to the... It sold also in the UK, it sold 159,000 albums.
Can you one stage on Spotify see, you know, the number of, you know, you kind of have a bar of how many times it's been listened to compared to all the songs on the
you
album.
You could see that. Yeah, you could see that. Don't know where that is. But while you're looking for that, I can move on to my favourite song. And I think I'm going to let you down here, Mr. Smith, because I know you want to hear Sheila.
Oh, well, do I?
Sheila could be a contender for the playout song of the pod. We should note that down, and we should go back to that discussion at the end after we've heard the Cribs album and see which song sticks out.
I don't know why it keeps coming to mind, Sheila. It's mainly because I've got, you know, the track listings up and Sheila's right in the middle, and that's kind of immediately what you see, you know, on the track list. But
and it is the song that I remember the most, actually, and probably
it's not my favorite. It's not my favorite song, though. It's not my favorite song.
Okay. Good. Interesting, because it's not my favourite song either.
Good.
So I didn't go for that one.
Well, I'm interested to see what the favourite song is then.
So for me, actually, my favourite song is the shortest one on the album, or not the shortest, the second shortest one on the album. It's track 5, Back in the Game.
Oh, okay.
What was yours?
Mine was Calm Down Dearest, track number
3. Calm
Down
Dearest is a good track, yeah.
Probably one of the longest tracks on the album.
Yeah. I really like Back in the Game because it's the one where he sings the most and he's playing his acoustic guitar. Just there's no other sound. It's just him and his acoustic guitar. And I don't know. It's just the lyrics are also very good. I really like listening to this song and it's short. A lot of his songs kind of go on for a bit longer than you would sometimes want. So I think I like this one. It's in and out, and it's a really good song. So this is my choice. See what you think of it. Here we go. Back in the Game by JT.
Young sons mosey at Apple. Learn facts on a Soviet. A crowded room that fits just 3. Takes 4, do you connect? All this shit means fuck all to me. Long livers in the subsect. A crazy Billy J. Jones. He robs banks just for that shit. Man alone giggling so stoned. Pick up the phone, cause that money I lent you said was just a loan. You're danger prone with too much gel and a whiff of dad's cologne. Leave me alone, cause now you come down and you're just gone lower the tone. Oh, oh. And after about 10 dear minutes, he was back in the game. Thought he was done, man, thought he was finished. He's back up again. And after about 10 dear minutes,
Jamie T, back in the game. We're back in the game of the podcasts. Mr. Smith, hit me with your feelings.
Yeah, I think you... Well, we are back in the game. I think that's a good song. You know, favourite track? Well, it's interesting choice, really. I listened to this album as well. And, you know, it's one of those kind of bridge songs for me. But then listening to it, you know, as a single on its own just then, and, you know, realising what it represents and, like, what you mentioned around the lyrics... Yeah, it's lovely. It's a lovely little song, and it is something a bit different to other things on the album, which I think it's nice, you know, with the songs that we play on this pod, to kind of give samples of things that people wouldn't have listened before, maybe, or, you know, they're new to Jamie T. It's nice to show that scope.
Yeah, because I think if you got the money, they might have heard, but they probably didn't think about it in the way that we talked about, like, swaying and then getting on the indie disco dance floor and stuff like that. But then this one, yeah, you probably, it's actually in the middle on the track listing of Calm Down Dearest and Sheila, which are the two biggest tracks. So people might have skipped over it a lot. And for me, it's, and you said it nicely, actually, when we were listening to it, you said, oh, you could just imagine the encore at the gig when he just comes out, the lights are down, him and his guitar, the band are off stage, or if he has a band. And then I never saw him live, actually, Jamie T, so I don't know. And then he just plays this, and you could see him, like, putting all the emotion in it at the end of the gig, and it's a final song, and you go, after about 10 near minutes, you know, and that feeling, like, you could really feel it. It gives you a bit goosebumps thinking about it. And, yeah, I think that's why it sticks with me, this song. It always stuck with me. And I still love it today, and it's a short one. Sometimes these little tracks that you just don't suspect just stick with you and just creep in your head sometimes.
No, and I think that picture of just on his own on a stool with a guitar, just and you know the audience is there, but immediately there, you know, 50 people in the crowd, and it's fantastic, I think. So good choice. I think that's, I mean, any other kind of honorable mentions? I know there's a lot of music in this album that's, yeah, we're kind of glossing over. We were only playing two tracks, but if you're playing a third, what would you, if I kind of put a knife to you, what would you play?
I would probably go for one of Calm Down Dearest, or actually no, I said it's sandwiched, this song is sandwiched between Calm Down Dearest and Sheila. It's not, actually. Calm Down Dearest is 3 and Sheila is 7, so it is in between them, but it's not sandwiched directly in between them.
I didn't want to correct you live on air, but
Okay, well, correcting myself, but good to see it in the end. Now you've told me to look at, that's why you told me to look at some other songs on the album. I would probably have to go for Calm Down Dearest, I think, if you push me. Although I do really like Pacemaker. The whole album is pretty good, actually. Like, I mean, you could make a case for Salvador. Brand New Bass Guitar is a good entry point to the album. I like Salvador a lot. I like Pacemaker. There's something about just the beat of that song that I like. Yeah, but I think if you pushed me to do another one, I would go for one of the big ones. I would go for Calm Down Dearest or Sheila. Probably Calm Down Dearest, because it's a good song.
Yeah, I must admit, and like, I was nice to kind of see this without Sticks and Stones in it, because I think that's kind of an overplayed song that we have of Jamie T. So that's in his later albums. But Sheila, that was the big... Yeah, that was
the Zombie. I put that on one of our...
Oh, yeah, Zombie. Oh, God.
It's a good song, though. Very good song.
That playlist. It's the first song on the play. I think that's the most annoying part about it, because it's the first song, and it's just, God. Shuffle. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's enough on Jamie T. I think we can move on to the Cribs, because I'm very eager to hear what you have got to say about the Cribs. The Cribs were a band that we listened to a lot back in this period of our lives. So take it away, Mr. Smith. What do you remember about them? Why did you pick the Cribs? What did it make you feel listening back to this album?
Well, I mean, it's funny you say it. I mean, like, we both listened to the Cribs an awful lot during this period. I mean, this album, The New Fellas, that we're kind of reviewing on 2005, came out right at the beginning of it. And I think we're all really fully into, you know, what was happening. I don't know whether we kind of knew about this album straight away, but we certainly picked it up throughout that year and we all loved it. And, you know, it's one of those albums that you kind of play before going out or whatever, or in the car, and immediately, like, the songs, that it's like a time warp going back listening to it again, and, like, you know all the words, it's ridiculous all the way through as well. It's like, oh god, there can't be another song. And then, you know, there's another one that hits you that you kind of, your memory back, you'd forgotten about, but your memory in the back of your head hadn't. And it's like, oh, it's like recharging old batteries, you know, kind of listening to it. And
nice.
I don't know what it was like for you when you kind of listen back. But
I have to say, I didn't listen back, so I'm excited to hear what you choose, because I didn't get the chance to, even though it's a short album, this one, I didn't get the chance to listen to it. And but like you said, now I'm looking at the track listing, I can literally sing every song in my head now I'm looking at it. So yeah, but I was interested to know, actually. I saw that they tweeted when they were at this Tim's Twitter listening party. They tweeted and said, "Hey Scenesters," the song, one of the songs from, I think that's the opening song from the album. They said that they didn't want it to be the opening song, but the record company wanted it to be, so it was. And they used to scream it at people in the gigs who were like hipsters, right, and Scenesters, and pretending
too cool to clap, sat at the front. Yeah.
Do you ever think that we were those people, or do you think that we were just?
No, I mean, I was definitely not a scenester. I was never cool enough to be even classed as a hipster. I was always the one. I always got complained about for overly clapping. You know, that's what I was. I was the clapper. You know, I really got engaged at gigs. I always I always kind of like thought, oh, I'll sit back at this one. But no, as soon as it kind of hits, and these bands, you can't help but get up to the front. And you know, I was a poker master back in the day, but yeah, I mean, the Cribs are, yeah, I mean, I was trying to think, I'm sure I've seen them, but then it's one of those bands that it must have been in the midst of a festival that, you know, I can't remember them, you know, I mean, know what I mean? I don't think we kind of saw them locally. I think it was in a festival where you kind of like, you know, you just fully kind of back to back bands going on, and it's just ridiculous. So I kind of got too into it, I think.
Yeah, I saw them at a couple of festivals, but yeah, like you say, when you're watching back to back bands from 12 o'clock in the afternoon, you're absolutely wasted. And you're jumping around like crazy. It's hard to remember exactly what happened, just apart from you had a good time. Yeah.
It's one of those, it's like you had that good time, yeah, you can't really remember having the good time, but it was and I think that's how it is with the Cribs. But I listened back to it, and I listened back with a smile on my face. It was lovely having that Tim's listening party. I mean, there was also another pod that are very similar to us, that 22 Grand pod, that had interviews with the Cribs as well, just in this last week, which is such a weird coincidence.
Wow.
But you got great insight of like how they kind of started out, you know, like, you know, they're kind of three brothers, part of a,
from Leeds, Cribs. From Wakefield.
And like, you know, it's the things that they kind of like, they kind of built up, and, you know, while they're kind of being a band, you know, they're kind of working a toilet factory, you know, creating toilet paper, the sacrifices that you make.
And I think they should have kept the shares in that toilet factory, the toilet paper factory. be multi-millionaires by now. Bet they're gutted about leaving the toilet paper factory.
But I think, like, you mentioned around that Haynes Caesars being number one, because I think the problem was is that the Cribs hit the scene, and I think like a lot of record labels at the time were like scratching around trying to find the UK's answers to the Strokes. Mm. And the Cribs do cross over a bit with the Strokes. Maybe not on purpose, but I think like
some crossover with Hanson and Kings of Leon as well, with the brothers connection.
I suppose so. Maybe more Kings of Leon than Hanson, but God, there's been a lot of quizzes about Imbop. Yeah, it's lockdown pub quiz. Yeah, that's one that came up. But I suppose going back to the album itself, and like, you know,
what's your banger?
Well, this is it. So the banger, I mean, you look at the first four tracks. I mean, any one of those could be my banger choice, along with a later track, The Wrong Way to Be, which I also think is, you know, up there.
Because we're coming out to show that the wrong way. Yes.
Yeah.
You just said it. It just popped into my head. But Mirror Kisses is the one that stands out to me, no, just when I look at the track list. But I don't want to, I'm not sure what you're going to choose.
Oh, you've already ruined it. But anyway, I was just about to say, like, Hey Caesars, that's probably, you know, a classic. I think that's the first big single off the album. Martel, as he kind of building into Mirror Kisses. I mean, one of the funny things that I saw on like Twitter is just that, like, it's the important thing to know that that R is there in Mirror Kisses, not Mirror Kisses. I think
yes.
For a good 10 years, I think I called it Mirror Kisses.
Yes.
It's Mirror Kisses.
Because it's more like the Scenesters again, kissing at themselves in the mirrors or what?
Yeah, poke at
the Scenesters again.
This is it. So, wow. But absolutely, right, the banger is Mirror Kisses.
Just brought the definition of a banger to the podcast. That is the gold standard for a banger. Mirror Kisses by the Cribs.
No, I think this is it. Really? They're the gold standard for the era, I reckon. But yeah, certainly that track, you know, you're kind of looking through this album. I mean, God, I mean, the album just hits you. It's like not even a roller coaster. You just permanently going down the roller coaster for the album, because it's that much of a kind of a eclectic in your face hit. But I mean, then it's kind of like, right, I've done Mirror Kisses for banger. What do I do for favorite track?
Well, this one was like, I think if just sticking on the banger for a second, I think if I ever have trouble picking a banger again, I'm going to listen to Mirror Kisses and go, how does it compare to that? Because imagine following that up now on the indie dance floor. Whoa. Oh, my God. I'm going home now. I'm going home.
That's why you need the kind of, you need that interlude. You need that kind of, you can't have that pace throughout. Otherwise, you know, everyone's going to be knackered after half an hour on the dance floor.
That's why the Monkey Pigeons playlist is so good, because it has all of our tracks. It has the bangers. Subscribe on Spotify, because it has the bangers. It has the favorite tracks, and it has the playout tracks as well. So it's a nice little, has your ups and your downs and your, you know.
No,
it's nice.
Actually, I got some good feedback, you know, from Arsenal guy. You know, our number one fan. He came back.
Do you know his name? Do you know his name?
Yeah, Paul. But I think it's safe to just refer him to as a...
Yeah,
just call it, I think, I think he's happy with being called the Arsenal guy, but he is saying like,
we love you, Arsenal guy. We love you, Arsenal guy.
Paul.
Sorry, Paul.
But he did say, you know, like he often argues with his wife about, you know, what to play, but then like he sticks on the Monkey Pigeons playlist and everyone's happy. You know,
really?
When we had the heat wave last week, he's like, yeah, we've had this on, you know, we never agreed on like what to play, but everyone's happy.
Oh,
playing this playlist.
Wow, so, I've never, great feedback. Arsenal guy, I've never had higher praise has never been said to the Monkey Pigeons. So thank you very much, Arsenal guy. And tell your friends, because we need more listeners. So, Pardo, Mr. Smith, sorry, Mr. Smith, I gave away your nickname then. I gave it away in the first part as well, I think. But...
Well, I don't think it matters. I mean, I don't know, like, you're going to, like, Mr. Smith gives away more than Pardo, so whatever.
Take us into your favourite track.
Favourite track? So, I've struggled with favourite track because, you know, I do like a lot of the tracks. You know, I've already mentioned, like Mirror Kisses could be a favorite track, but I don't think they were. I really like I'm just reading the track numbers now, so track 6, It Was Only Love. I thought that was a lovely song. It's very different to all the other songs.
Is it about Kate Nash? Because I remember the lead singer started going out with Kate Nash around this time. Oh, but it was
Kate
probably
Nash.
After
K-Nash came 2007 era kind of okay. thing. But yeah, it was Only Love was, I don't know, it's like, it's just a funny song. I don't know the kind of ins and outs of the, you know, how the song came to be written, but I think like, it's interesting what they kind of did around the track. Cause it's almost like, feels like, you know, like those old French kind of songs in the, you know, war era. And there's kind of this whole kind of, and it feels like I think they like in the recording studio, I think it was saying a lot of listening part, like that they got the recording and they threw it around the recording studio just to make it more grainy and more of era defined, which I found quite interesting. But and then I just thought, you know what? Yeah, it's a great song, and maybe if we're pushing for, you know, the third song, if we're allowed to do that, then I put that there. First song had to be The Wrong Way to Be.
Oh, there we go. Here it is. What track is it? Number 9. Track 9 on the 2005 album The New Fellas by The Cribs, The Wrong Way to Be. Let's listen.
I really like that track, and you know, it's one of those, you know, we talk about like stages in a gig, but that's one of those songs that your nose is around and it's like, is there anything else that you need to play? You know, they've already done like the encore. It's like, oh, what else are you going to play before I go home? It's got to be a big song. And then they throw The Wrong Way to Be at you, and it's like,
and you forgot about it, but then it's like boom. Oh, and you're like, oh
yeah. It's the best.
Yeah, that feeling was great. And then you'd be like, oh, we forgot about this one. You look at each other, then you start jumping up and down. You're like, this is our favorite. That was good.
It's the forgotten great. So yeah, well, let us know what you feel. I mean, it's such a great album, this, and hopefully, you know, a lot of the listeners kind of like listen to this the first time around. And if you haven't, you know, like I say, it's a quick album to run through, highly recommend, like, looking back on that Tim's listening party, just to kind of get all those extra kind of little tidbits from the band themselves. You know, you kind of, you know, lived it through the era. And you know, I mean, God, what was the other thing that I kind of remember on that? Oh yeah, you know, like the mic they use for recording this album, they use like an old like commentator mic. You know, like
I saw a John picture Motson. On Twitter.
The old John Motson mic. So you know, imagine in the studio with like a John Motson mic, like bouncing around doing this album. Yeah.
They were cool. They were cool back in the day. They knew what they were doing.
Too cool. So I mean, really enjoyed it. And I mean, what else have we got to say about this album? I mean, but I suppose.
Well, I think it's now good to leave it with the fact that, I mean, it's a short album. Everyone should go and listen to this. I mean, really, like, this is a great album. Get it on. You won't regret it. 35 minutes of your life. You'll put a smile on your face and you'll really enjoy it. Can't tell you to do that enough. And I think we should think about what's the play out song and what are we going to do for next week? So what would you say was a play out song? I have an idea, but you go first.
No, I mean, I suppose I always push a play out song just because I always want an extra song. But it was
I haven't done a play out song, so I was thinking.
No, you choose it. And actually, I won't even.
What would you do of this album if you could?
I'd go for It Was Only Love as a nice closing track.
That's a good one. That is a good one. But I think because we didn't give probably the people what they wanted on the Jamie T album, which would have been Sheila or Calm Down Dearest, I think we should do one of those. And considering I haven't had a play out song yet.
No, you got editor's rights anyway. You can always just overwrite everything. Just play what you want.
Which one would you pick out, Sheila or Calm Down Dearest?
Calm Down Dearest would be for me. I think it's a lovely end to the pod.
Okay, there we go. And would you have it on the playlist? Would you be happy if it graces the playlist?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I listened to Jamie T. He won the Zane Lowe Hottest Record Best Solo Artist in 2007, beating Jarvis Cocker and Tom York. That's a bit of a stat for you. And I just wrote, Calm Down Dearest. Great track. Great closure.
Oh, there we go. So it even ends up coming back to what you wanted the closing song to be. So you always pick the closing song and it hasn't changed. All right. So, but I usually go first on picking the next week's album. So you need to choose next week's album. And then I need to think off the cuff on what I would match up with that.
All right. I'm going to go for The Sunshine Underground.
Ooh. Oh my gosh, The Sunshine Underground. It's been a long time since I heard those. And they weren't even very big.
No.
Who do I go? I think I've avoided it for a while.
I mean,
and I think I'm going to go for, because I want to take this band before you take it. Because I told you I wasn't looking. You love this band that I'm about to pick, and I wasn't looking forward to. I did really like them back in the day, and we had some great memorable gigs that we went to see.
If you don't love them anymore, just choose one.
No, I haven't. I haven't heard them for a while, and I want to hear the album actually. And the gig, I can recount this gig that we went to, which was incredible that they played, incredible. And I want to pick it because I know. I feel like you might pick the cheesy songs from the album, and I'm going to cock block you, so to speak, on the album. Is that allowed? Or?
I don't know what you're going to choose, actually.
I'm thinking about the Subways.
All right. Subways, are they a good kind of band to put against Sunshine Underground? Because, like, Sunshine Underground, I mean, like, Subways are kind of, like, they've got good high tempo songs, but like Sunshine Underground are like that band that are a bit like, you know, it's dance music for people who don't like dance music kind of thing. I was just wondering if there's more of like a dancey type indie band to play against.
Test Icicles could do Test Icicles, which was the guy who went on to make Blood Orange. Was in Test Icicles, and that
they're,
was
they're hardcore indie.
They were kind of hardcore indie but also a bit dancey.
I think you need a middle ground between Test Icicles and Subways.
That's a hard ground to think. I can't think of anything at the moment off the top of my head. Do you have anything?
What about LCD Sound System?
No, that's too dancey. That's pure dance.
Is it?
I mean, okay, I would match LCD Sound Systems up with Hot Chip or something like that. But
I
think Sunshine Underground were a bit more like, you know, like, okay, a bit dancey, but more...
They're Leeds-based, anyway. Yeah.
They feel like more like an Oasis-type band to me, Sunshine Underground. Than, but, I mean, I haven't listened to them in a long time. That's just how I remember them.
Put Oasis up, then. No, well, it's let's go with the first answers. They're always the best answers. As soon as we start thinking about it, we start ballsing it up. So let's...
I thought the Subways would be interesting against them. So
yeah.
Let's go for it. Yeah, Subways and the album Rock and Roll Queen, I think it was called. Was it?
No, come on.
No. Okay, I don't even remember the album name.
Yeah.
All right, what's it called? Subways. I'm double checking
just so you don't, you know, you can't.
Young for Eternity. Young for Eternity, 2005. Yeah, you know the song.
That's your problem. I think, like, if you ignore, and I had a real, and maybe your kind of, your memory is just, I don't know, I think I believe you when you say your memory is terrible. But, like, I remember, like, not really wanting to get into the Subways because, like, I think, like, the first time I saw them, like, they overplayed that Rock and Roll Queen, and, like, they used to do adverts to sell, you know, on, like, MTV to sell their songs. And I was like, God, they're really saturating this. It's like, I don't want to like them. But then I listened to the album, and, like, some fantastic songs.
Now, before I've listened to the album again? My favorite song, the one that I remember, is Mary, actually, which is one of the quieter songs.
Yeah.
Mary is my best friend. She makes me my tea. And it goes on like this. It's like, it's very good, but it's nothing like what you would think from what you've probably remember.
No, and this is it. And I remember you saying, I quote you from, you know, that era of saying they're the best live band in the UK.
I probably did say that, and the gig
you
was
probably said
amazing.
It about a lot of bands after the gig, actually.
I have to be very honest here. When we saw the Subways, were you there, Mr. Smith? Well, we saw the Subways, and he went up to, there was, we were in a...
It's in the Sugar Mill.
Exactly.
In Stoke.
It has two floors, and he went up to the top floor, and he did a crowd
stage.
Dive,
stage dive
off the...
Yeah.
Crowd dive off the I got it wrong, off the top balcony, and it was incredible. I mean, the atmosphere was electric on that gig.
I think it probably was
one of the best gigs I saw.
It was fantastic. I think everyone was there for the Subways. It was packed out. It's nice medium to small venue, and like everyone was really into it. And yeah, they loved it so much that they came back and shot the video for the first single on their second album after that gig.
Oh, that was their first album, Young for Eternity. Yeah. And the lead singer, I remember the lead singer and the bass guitarist were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
And the drummer was obviously the third wheel in the relationship because it's just three people in the band.
He was a brother of the lead singer, something like that.
But he was a very good drummer, actually, I remember.
It's a great band.
Oh, yeah. Great song. I'm looking forward to hearing it again, actually. I'm looking forward. And it's 37 minutes. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. That's the perfect time for an album, 37 minutes. Unless it's very, you know... word heavy.
I mean, I don't mind. I mean, I don't know, especially with these fast paced, you know, bands and stuff, you know, around the area. It's like, it's the perfect ideal, you know, for an album. 40 minutes, yeah, there or thereabouts. But there we've got to make sure you keep my attention.
Yeah. If only we could ever make a podcast under 40 minutes, then we'd really be onto something.
How long have we chatted today? Yeah. All right. that's a sign to wrap up. But what? Is there anything else to say? I mean, maybe we should just say some closing lines.
Closing lines. Where can people find us, Mr. Smith?
So we're on Twitter. I think we're pretty active on Twitter. Maybe this week we weren't, but find us Monkey Pigeons PD at Monkey Pigeons PD. But we're also you got an email address?
Email monkeypigeonspod@gmail.com. And give us a rating. We would love to have some more ratings on Apple. And subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. But I think just talk to Mr. Smith or me on Twitter. Yeah. We always like a bit of interaction. And enjoy your lives, you know? Make the most out of it. Dancing to this song, man. No good one. DJ, play the record on, man. Joe, we get us a drink and then pull.